At the State Democratic Convention, June 2 and 3 in Middleton, delegates will elect the next chair of the State Democratic Party. I want to thank all four candidates for coming to the Wisconsin Eye studio to talk about why they're qualified to be the next state party chair. To my left is Brian Kennedy. To his left is Martha Lanning, the current chair, Eric Finch, and Joe Donovan. I'll let them give their bios here after my first question, which is, what qualifies you to be state Democratic chair? We'll work it this way. Joe.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you.
Thanks for being there. Well, I guess my background is the Democratic Party. I grew up in Marinette County. I was very active in the county there, an officer there. And then I moved to Milwaukee County, and I was chair of the Milwaukee County West Side Democrats. So I'm a lot of history tied up with the Democratic Party. And then I served as the executive director for Donovan and Jorgensen for the last 31 years. And that's really the position we're seeking in the chair, the executive direction of the party. So I feel I'm well qualified to serve as the next chair of the party.
And you now live where, Joe?
Just I moved to Marinette County. I retired back up that way. So I'll be representing a lot of the rural counties in the party.
Okay, thank you. And Eric, please.
Yeah, well, my name's Eric Finch, and I'm running because I think we need to do a lot to move this party forward if we're going to win in 2018. So to move forward to victory, we've got to organize, we've got to fundraise, we've got to do a lot of things, and this chair is central to a lot of those, to those aspects of the party. Now, the reason why I think I'm qualified, I committed my life to liberal politics 15 years ago, and I've also worked in law and in software since then. So we need to do grassroots organizing. I've done a lot of that. We need to rebuild our digital infrastructure. As an intellectual property, I've been involved in tech projects before, and I can deliver on that. And I think we also need to have a chair that can guide us through some of the legal fights that we're going to be having, whether it's gerrymandering or dealing with the voter suppression of the GOP, actually having a plan. You know, I've been involved, whether it was with the League of Women Voters or voter protection teams of attorneys over the last few years in this state since I followed my wife to Wisconsin. And it's clear to me that we need to have somebody that can really watch all those things in motion and respond in real time to put out the fires that are needed.
Thank you, Eric. The incumbent chair, Martha, thank you.
Thank you. I am Martha Lanning, and I am the chair. And the reason that I ran initially was we need to build a stronger infrastructure, and that's where my skills lie. I'm a problem solver and had a lot of those things, those experiences. And we've made a lot of progress, but we have a long way to go. When I came on board, we had a bigger mess than I expected. We had membership going down 3 years in a row. We didn't have the resources to be putting people out in the field. We had really had bad relationships with a lot of our county parties and our grassroots organizers, and we've turned that around. We've had membership go up by double digits. We now have a full organizing team out in the field for the first time ever in March of the off year, and this is a team that will stay year-round. And we're now about to launch our communications endeavor, bringing in grassroots and our county parties together to work to build a stronger message that will get out in every corner of our state. So we're leveraging our best resources, the people, by getting neighborhood teams everywhere, and I'm excited to move forward with that program.
Thank you, Martha. Brian.
Well, thanks for having me, Steve. The purpose of the Democratic Party is to elect Democratic candidates, and we've not been doing a very good job of that, actually, for quite some time. And I am the only person running for this office who's actually held elected office, who's actually run campaigns, winning campaigns. I've also recruited quite a few candidates who've gotten elected. So what I'm proposing for the party is actually I wrote a 20-page organizing plan for what we should be doing as a party. And it gets us all the way down to the grassroots level and creates permanent and lasting infrastructure. It doesn't rely just on building a political campaign to get us through the next election cycle, but actually provides a base of support for candidates that want to run. One of the things you'll find right now is we're having a hard time recruiting candidates. We still don't have a gubernatorial candidate, and yet places like Mississippi do. And it's because we don't have a Democratic Party that is prepared to be able to deliver on Election Day. What I proposed, this 20-page organizing plan, has about an 8-month timeline to implementation. We see presidential campaigns that are built in 18 months nationwide, gubernatorial campaigns that are built in this state in 12 to 16 months' time. It does not take multiple years to build permanent and lasting infrastructure in the party. We need somebody who has the experience of actually getting elected to office and running campaigns to be able to take the leadership role in this party and get us organized.
Just a PS, the office that you now hold?
I'm currently the mayor of the city of Glendale, but I've also served multiple terms on my local school board and recruited candidates for both school board and common council.
Okay. My second question goes to the heart, goes to your hearts and your passion. Why? I ask this sometimes when I interview people for the first time, but I think it's relevant. why are you a Democrat? And Joe started last. Eric, it's your turn. Why are you a Democrat?
Well, I'm a Democrat because I care about our democracy, which is under threat right now. We have oligarchs that are trying to control our election system, and we need laws and policies that are actually for the people. You know, I've been very lucky in my life to have had academic success and had success in the real world, but not everybody does. People, you know, come from all sorts of different backgrounds. I'm going to have food over my head. I'm going to have a roof over my head, food on my table, and health care. But getting those things for other people, that's what gets me out of bed in the morning, is making sure that other people have their needs taken care of and that we as a society are really, truly living in community.
Martha, I've heard your speeches, but give it again. Why are you a Democrat?
I'm a Democrat because I'm here because of Democrats. I'm here because of the progressive principles of the state of Wisconsin. My dad grew up in deep poverty, dirt floor poverty, in northern Wisconsin, and he quit school when he was 15 years old to join the military to send home food or money to his family for food. And it was a public school teacher that got him to come back and get his diploma, and it was the GI Bill that allowed him to become a chemical engineer. And I just strongly believe that the Democrats are out there ensuring that everyone should have an opportunity to have a good life. Everyone should have an opportunity to get the education they need or get the skills they need. We believe in a living wage. We believe that everybody should share in the prosperity of a company, not that some people are paid a poverty wage while others live in, you know, as royalty. So I just believe in the platform of the Democratic Party that we're all stronger when we're all doing better. And we need to turn things around here in the state.
Brian?
You know, I'm a fourth-generation union member, and I've been taught from the time I was a little kid that the Democratic Party always stands with working people. And it's always been, you know, if you look at our party's platform, if you look at the things that we've advocated, the fight for 15, raising the minimum wage, health care for everyone, full funding for our public schools, building transportation and other infrastructure, investing in our communities, it's what the Democratic Party has always stood for, and it's what we're fighting for. We're losing traction right now in the state because the Democratic Party doesn't really have a voice in the legislature. You know, we have Republicans holding all of our statewide offices except for one, and that's the Secretary of State, which doesn't have a large ability to wield an agenda. And so if we want to be able to get back to that party that unions were always the backbone of, that has been the party for working people, then we need to put forward someone who has that experience in union organizing, who brings that background to the role of chair.
Thank you, Brian. Joe?
I'm a Democrat because I grew up with parents that were solid Democrats. I campaigned for John F. Kennedy when I was 11 years old and have campaigned for every Democratic candidate since. The principles of the Democratic Party to me are standing for working people, a progressive income tax so that those that are successful know the obligation to help those that help them get successful. And so that's what, to me, drives my interest in the party. The reason I'm running right now is because I don't believe that the Democratic Party has been attuned to the need to enact progressive income tax. We've let that slide to flat tax in Wisconsin. Corporate taxes used to be progressive, and now they're flat. So I think that we'd like to get that back on track, more the FDR Democratic principles that we need to stand by. So that's why I'm a Democrat.
Thank you. Third question, Martha gets to go first. Martha, in April, a Washington Post ABC poll of the nation found that 2/3 of Americans believe the Democratic Party is, quote, out of touch. Do you agree? And if so, as party chair, how would you try to reverse that?
I think that when money came into politics, things changed dramatically. We stopped having as much communication one-on-one with people, and it started to be about putting out TV commercials and putting out ads. And we've really seen candidates drive a lot of their attention into raising the money to compete. What we need to change, and that's why I got into this. When I ran in 2014, I raised the money I was supposed to. I did all the things I was supposed to, but we didn't get people to the polls. So I came in 2 years ago to say we need to make a connection with all the people out there, and it takes time. When you come in and see that our party is $400,000 short this year to do the things that they want to be doing, that's something you have to correct. We've raised over $1.5 million now, and we are putting boots on the ground so that when we go up to Hayward, they don't tell me that they didn't get literature, that we have the resources to get them literature, and we have neighborhood activists that are out there talking neighbor to neighbor. When they're mowing the lawn, we want them to start talking about why it's important that we fight right to work, or that we fight back on prevailing wage and be sure that everybody in our state gets a wage that they deserve.
Brian, on the Washington Post ABC poll, two-thirds out of touch.
You know, since the November elections, tens of thousands of Wisconsinites have joined an organization other than the Democratic Party. We've seen people joining our Wisconsin Revolution, the Women's Huddles, FON, Indivisible Groups, you name it, they're choosing to join something that isn't the party. There's obviously an untapped energy out there that wants to resist Trump, but in addition to just resisting the Republican agenda, which is so punitive to so many Americans, we actually need to elect progressive candidates, and the Democratic Party is the vehicle to make that happen. What we are not seeing happen right now is the kind of outreach that brings those folks into the room, that engages them in conversations about why, in addition to resisting, we also need to be proactive in recruiting and preparing progressive candidates to get elected. And so what I'd like to see us be doing is a kind of grassroots on the ground organizing that has us engaging people at a neighborhood level and at a township level around shared values. And those groups that are, all these folks that are joining all these other groups, obviously want to be actively engaged in something, right? There's all these action items that come up at the end of all of their meetings. Well, one of those action items could certainly be, you know, signing up to be a ward captain for the Democratic Party and leading canvasses in their neighborhood and talking with their neighbors around shared values. And right now, that kind of organizing that gets all the way at the grassroots, what is successful in every other solidly blue state, is not happening here.
Thank you. Joe?
I think the leadership of the Democratic Party is a little out of touch. If we go back to the primary in April, Bernie Sanders' message was reaching a lot of people. And I think when his nomination was denied in Wisconsin, I think that that changed a lot of people's thinking. They felt that those people that were turning out to the Democratic Party for his message of trying to minimize the disparity between the rich and the poor, that was a resonating message, and he was part of the Democratic Party message. He still is. But that's the message that the Democratic Party leadership needs to start galloping their eyes around. If we reach out to people and instill some hopes, try to fulfill their aspirations, then we'll reach those people. Right now, we're not doing that. So our message and our candidates were not resonating with the voters, and that's why we lost. So what we need to do is get back on track, and like I said, get back to those messages that are the core values of the Democratic Party, the FDR principles of standing with working people, providing a hope for them to go forward with their lives and the lives of their children.
Thank you. Eric?
Well, that's a big part of why I'm running, is we have a major problem here in the Democratic Party that a lot of folks don't see the Democrats as looking out for them. Some of it goes back to what Joe was saying about we haven't had candidates that have stood firm on our values. Things like universal health care, that polls incredibly well, and it's the right thing to do. We need to stand firm, and the chair can't tell every Democrat in the state what to do. What they can do is they can tell folks, hey, let's stand firm on this, and hopefully as many Democrats as possible follow that lead, you know. And so what we've got to do is we've got to move forward, and we've got to not be afraid to advocate for our values, whether it's things like the civil rights and human rights and medical patient rights crisis that is, you know, the drug war for marijuana. We probably need to legalize that, treat it like alcohol or tobacco. You know, things like the environment, we need to go to those groups. We need to go to groups, you know, not just these Democratic groups that have formed, but groups that have been out there. Whether it's environmental groups, groups that have been fighting on things like net neutrality. We need to go to those groups, not say, oh, hey, we're with you, look at page 17 of the party platform, but actually go to those groups, whether at their fairs, you know, through online means, and reaching out, bringing those people back into the party. You know, it's not a piece of literature that's going to convince somebody to come join us. It's us reaching out and saying, we stand with you. And that's how we let people know that the Democratic Party is the party of democracy and it's the party of the people.
Thank you. Next question, Brian. On November 8th, did Donald Trump win Wisconsin, or did Hillary lose it?
Oh, I think that Hillary lost it. But I would say that the Democratic Party in general, because we didn't just lose the presidential election in the state for the first time in 32 years. We also lost a U.S. Senate race in a presidential year for the first time in 32 years. we lost another seat in the Assembly and another seat in the State Senate because we weren't organized on the ground. There are vast swaths of this state that, if you look at the blue and red map, are red. And they're red because we haven't even bothered to show up. In the last election, we had 21 Assembly seats where we weren't even running candidates. We had several of the State Senate seats, including Alberta Darling's right in my backyard, that went uncontested. And we also found many of our county courthouse races we didn't run candidates for. If we're not going to build infrastructure on the ground that allows candidates to see a party that can deliver on election day and then recruit those candidates and give Democrats and progressives a full ballot, I mean, there are large portions of this state where they got to go vote, and they got to go vote for president, U.S. Senate, and Congress. And that's it. Democrats weren't on the rest of the ballot. We've got to fill out the ballot because somebody running for a county clerk or register of deeds, they all bring out votes that help the top of the ticket. So it wasn't that Donald Trump won this state. It is that the Democratic Party was not prepared on the ground. And that's why we need someone who's experienced in mounting their own campaigns, in winning elections time and time again, to be at the helm.
Joe, Trump win, Hillary loss?
I think the voters were looking for change, and I believe that our message was not change, especially as Hillary as the candidate. Hillary had been beaten up by the Republican Party for 20 years and went into that campaign sort of a damaged candidate. If you talk to voters, if you talk to people that actually voted for Trump, most of them were not enthusiastic. It was a desperate vote. It was a desperate vote of hope for change. And obviously, they're not going to get the change that he promised he was going to deliver. But that's what they were looking for. So I don't think that the Democratic Party has instilled that hope in people that are economically depressed right now. And that's what we need to focus on if we want to start winning some elections.
Eric? Well, I can firmly say, as somebody that supported Bernie Sanders in the primary and then supported Hillary in the general election, Hillary Clinton didn't lose the election. She won the popular vote for the first time a woman has ever done that in U.S. history. I think Donald Trump won Wisconsin. He went out and got people. He went out and organized through online forums and riled people up with some fairly hateful messaging. But he went out and found a base and he activated it. He activated new voters, something we've failed to do. He was playing, chess while we were playing checkers to some extent, or maybe he was just playing with loose marbles and destroyed the board, I don't know. But the fact is, he went out and he won the state, and he did it in new ways that we haven't seen before. We as a party have to move forward and actually engage in 21st century organizing practices. I'm surrounded by three great Democrats who I love very much, but Brian's plan to have ward captains, I used to organize in a state, Washington State, that had statutory PCOs. We had success in areas where we didn't fill out our PCOs, precinct committee officers, and we had losses in places where we did have our PCOs. That's not some magic elixir. What we've got to do is we've got to look at every single facet of how we're organizing from the traditional to the digital and compete everywhere and be honest with ourselves. Donald Trump went out and turned out a bunch of new people, and he won the state, and we weren't ready for it.
Martha, thoughts on November 8th?
So I did 11 listening sessions after this and really talked to the people, got down to find out what the issues were. And I do believe that we lost this. And we lost it because we weren't ensuring that every part of our state was getting the information they needed. People could not even tell me what Hillary Clinton was going to do about jobs. I was given those talking points. I knew that Hillary Clinton was going to do the biggest investment in infrastructure since FDR and would have created 60,000 jobs right here in Wisconsin. But we didn't get that out to our grassroots. And the reason we didn't is that the campaigns come in and they put out a lot of money, and along with the Democratic National Committee and other organizations, to determine how we're going to put out literature, where it's going and how it's going. And I, as the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, I have not sat on the administrative committee for 7 years like Brian did. I came into this after my Senate race saying something's got to change, and I had not nearly enough money to be able to ensure that we were getting a message out in every corner. That's why we've put organizers on the ground now, because those organizers will ensure in 2018 we know when things aren't going well in a certain area, and we'll be able to activate these neighborhood groups that are being formed by a person who formed the Obama groups in 2012 here. Those are groups that still exist today, and when we have people all over our state getting our message, even if it's just by email, they'll be able to help us get our message out. So I believe we could have won this state had we had people informed about how great Hillary Clinton would have been as our president, and instead they settled for Donald Trump because that's the only message they were hearing.
Thank you. I think next question, Joe's turn. Joe, why can't your party beat Scott Walker? And if you were party chair, what qualities would you look for and recruit in the party's candidate for governor next year?
That's a challenge. Scott Walker has a lot of money, and that in part is what has helped him win. We also have failed to build our party membership. I know that we've improved a little bit in the past year, but we're still behind our membership levels of 2012, 2013. So we're not a strong party. We do not deliver a message well. We are focusing on some of the issues that are divisive rather than focusing on the issues that are, gather a lot of people together. We're missing those issues that unite us and resonate with voters. Instead, we find ourselves talking about the issues that the Republicans want us to talk about. We've allowed the Republicans to define the Democratic Party rather than taking a bold leap forward and saying, here's what the Democratic Party stands for, here's what you can expect. And that's what we need to start doing. If we want to beat Governor Walker in the coming election, we're going to have to stand on a message that resonates with people in Wisconsin. We're going to have to say, look, we have a problem with the roads, and the solution is not to cut the income taxes of the richest among us. The solution is to go back to how we've always funded that program, which is the gasoline tax. It's a straightforward, there's no need to shift around and try to find some kind of a complicated resolution of that issue. It's pretty straightforward. There's a lot of things that we need to focus on that people look at, and for example, our public park system, where we've defunded it, basically. And those public parks have been set aside by our ancestors so that people that are lower income can go out and enjoy part of the nature of Wisconsin. And right now, the Republican Party, Scott Walker in particular, is taking that opportunity away. So we need to focus on those issues that resonate with people, especially in rural Wisconsin. That's where we need to turn out support. And that's why I believe that I can help the Democratic Party do that. Coming from a rural background, I will be able to relate to people in terms of moving our party forward to unite us around those issues.
Eric, your party's 0-3 against Scott Walker. Your thoughts?
Well, it's been painful to watch since I've, you know, been in Wisconsin to see us fail to adequately marshal against this guy. We saw him exposed in the presidential campaign. He's a robot who sticks to his talking points, and we have gotten beat 3 straight times by this guy. He brings some big money to bear, and what we have to do is we have to go after him in ways that actually connect with folks. We can't just call him extreme, or he's going to buy twice as many ads and call us extreme right back. What we have to do is we have to talk about the things he's done. The fact is, he's bad with money. He has absolutely destroyed the balance sheet of Wisconsin. He has been selling off public lands. He cut the education system bad enough that even really conservative areas have voted to raise their own property taxes. And now property taxes are 175% of what the property taxes are in Minnesota next door. So, I mean, the guy has shown a total lack of understanding when it comes to the budget process. We have to go after that, and we have to talk about that specifically. You know, I'm tired of paying my taxes to him. I wouldn't trust him with my checkbook. You know, the other thing is, he's really gone against the grain of the Constitution when he banned public unions, and didn't quite ban them, but basically made it impossible for collective public bargaining. You know, public unions exist to exercise the right to peaceably assemble and petition our government for grievances. That may sound familiar. It's in the First Amendment of the Constitution. So for Scott Walker to take away those two rights is downright unconstitutional. I disagree with the federal court decision that allowed that. I don't think it was a good decision at all. And we've got to fight on the Constitution and for some decent transparency with our tax dollars. We do those two things, and he's going to go down.
Martha, please.
Our state was really struggling. We have more people living in poverty right now than we've had in the last 30 years. And Governor Walker took advantage of that. And he pointed the fingers at the Democrats to say we were all the problem. And he made a whole lot of promises. We were going to create all these jobs. We were going to create all these businesses. And he has failed at all of them. I mean, we have not created the jobs that he claimed. We've watched great companies like Oscar Mayer and Manitowoc Crane leave our state, you know, and those things are catching up with him. The real problem here is two things. things. One is money, that there's so much money that the Republican Party puts into putting out a message that bamboozles people, that he claims that he's going to do something and he makes it sound wonderful and then he never delivers. But those promises are now being proven to be wrong. And this is our opportunity to get out there and show that when we take care of everybody in our communities, when we ensure that everyone has an opportunity to get an education and the skills they need to get a living wage job, that's when we all do better. And our economy is going to continue to struggle as we have so many people that are working poor. And we need to hold the corruption of corporate America by not sharing the prosperity of their company with everyone and by paying poverty wages. We need to hold them accountable for that. And when we do that, our economy will improve. And we have so many people interested in running for governor, and it is very exciting. We already have an attorney general candidate that's come out. We've already got a Supreme Court candidate that came out. We as the Democratic Party are seeing a lot of excitement, and all of these grassroots organizations around the state, we're thrilled about them because that means that they're organizing around something they really believe in, and we are having our organizers that are now on the ground reaching out to them. And when we put that all together, Scott Walker better look out because we're going to take him down.
Thank you. Brian.
You know, there's been such a focus for so many years in organizing around candidates, and that's a campaign model, right? We build a campaign based around candidates. What we need to do if we want to elect a Democratic governor in this state is actually begin organizing at the grassroots level and talking with our neighbors about what Democrats stand for, what are our shared values. Because you know what, as Martha said, you know, Walker can put out all those ads bamboozling people. You know, Eric's talked about, you know, some of his issues with checkbooks and money. I mean, they're going to find ways to advertise to counteract those messages and to trick people and to bamboozle people. And what we need to do is actually be organized on the ground talking about shared values so that neighbor is talking to neighbor, so that we're connecting with people, not about a candidate who's going to be, they're going to try and destroy in the press, but about a Democratic Party that actually stands for working families, for working family values, a Democratic Party that is going to represent them regardless who that candidate is. One of the things you'll see, yes, there's a lot of people who are expressing interest in running for governor, but I don't see any of them stepping forward. And it's because they're looking at a dysfunctional Democratic Party that is in complete disarray and saying, how can that party help get me elected? We need to do the real, serious, on-the-ground grassroots organizing of getting folks talking about shared values neighbor to neighbor so that we can build the kind of message and the kind of infrastructure in our communities that, regardless who the candidate is, the party is prepared to deliver an election victory on Election Day.
Thank you. Eric, I think it's your turn to go first. Do you consider, if you're Democratic chair, do you consider part of your mandate defeating conservative Justice Michael Gableman next April?
Well, that is a nonpartisan race. And, you know, as much as it pains me to see, because I have really disagreed very highly with some of the decisions lately from our Supreme Court, you know, I as a sworn attorney in this state, am required to have respect for judicial officers. Now, with that said, I personally would very much like to see Gableman retire from the bench or defeated in election. There is a candidate, as Martha mentioned, Tim Burns. I think he would do a more effective job on the Supreme Court. And so I think I sort of have to take off the party hat to say that and talk about that. But it's an absolute fact. He has shown, I think, a more considered approach to law. And, you know, one of the things that attorneys are supposed to do is improve the legal profession, improve law practice, improve our courts. I don't think Gableman has done that. Whereas Tim Burns, who's the candidate who's declared, and I'm sure there may be others, he has shown that over his career, that he is committed to improving access to justice and these sorts of issues. So I would absolutely like to see Gableman go and somebody who's going to be a better person in there.
Martha, it's a nonpartisan race, yes, but the Republican Party helped Justice R. Bradley. So your feelings, would you consider that part of your goals next year if you're reelected?
Absolutely. And we've had candidates in the past ask us not to get involved because they, you know, as a judicial race. But the Republicans have totally changed this game. And we need to get in there and get engaged. You know, we are going to be doing doors for that candidate. We are going to be reaching out. Tim Burns is an outstanding lawyer. And he is out there fighting against these corporations that are trying to take advantage of just hardworking people. we're going to get involved in those. And Tim Burns and other candidates like them are thrilled to see what we're doing in our party right now. Our party is stronger than it's ever been. And it had our party been this strong in 2014, maybe you'd be talking to Senator Lanning instead of talking to Chair Lanning. You know, we are making the changes we need to make. The problem is that it wasn't strong enough last year to deal with the problems that were occurring and to have the resources. But again, I am kicking into overdrive to be sure that we engage all of our strongest resources, the people, and then ensure that they have the resources before them to win, not only for the Supreme Court race in the spring, but in for our governor's race, for all of our races in both fall and spring.
Brian?
Absolutely. You know, the Republicans, in going back probably to Pat Rogensack's first election, have started to define the nonpartisan Supreme Court races as really a Democrat versus a Republican. And so the Republican Party and all of its interest groups, Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, you know, all the dark money and outside groups, are going to help whoever the Republican Party wants to support in an election. They certainly helped Gableman a decade ago. So the Democratic Party needs to be engaged in helping candidates that support a fair and impartial judicial system. We're not asking for activist judges. The Republicans are putting activist judges in office. What we want is a fair and impartial judicial system that looks at the law and interprets the law based on the language of the law. And so we do want the party to get behind candidates. When the Republicans are working to put their person in office, the Democrats need to be working to help that other side, that other candidate, who may or may not be a Democrat, right? But they're going to be a far more impartial and fair justice. And so, yeah, we do need to be involved in those races.
Mr. Donovan.
I think the party definitely needs to be involved in those races. I think our focus should be on the issues and less on the personalities. So when we get involved with a nonpartisan race, I think it's about talking about the issues of that race, whether it's a local county board election or a judicial election. The criteria is similar. We stand for values. Does the person that's seeking that office represent the values of the people that they're going to serve? And so I think that's the way to differentiate the race. And we still maintain the impartiality if we focus on issues of what people are looking for and those values that they want to see in a position that's held by that person. So that would be my feeling on it. I think that certainly it's obvious that right now those things have become very partisan. I don't think that's helpful in the long term. So okay. I'd like to see us focus on the issues rather
Thank
than
Thank you. I've got a couple more questions so everybody gets a chance
sure.
to go first. Martha, if Democrats regain control of the legislature, what should be the first bill that they pass?
Oh, my goodness. The first bill that they pass. I think that we really need to be centering in on bringing fairness and opportunity back, and I think the attacks on working families, you know, our right to work, that right now they're challenging prevailing wage, ensuring that, you know, raising the minimum wage. When I ran for state senate, people asked me what would be the first thing that you did, and I said if I could wave a magic wand, I would raise the minimum wage, and the reason I would do that is just one Walmart Supercenter in the state of Wisconsin, when you add up all the public assistance that the working employees of that store gets, it's $900,000 a year. And so in my community, that's $1.8 million that goes to support the working employees of that store, while Walmart sits on $12 billion in profit. If they took just a portion, a third of that profit, and distributed it to their workers would not be living in poverty. And we, the taxpayers, would have our money going to our schools and our roads. It would solve so many problems. So I think the attacks of corporate America and the Republicans' greed about helping their donors versus helping the working people, that's the first thing I'd go after.
First bill in a Democratic ledge, Brian?
So the chair of the Democratic Party is never going to pass a law.
I understand that.
Right? So
talking about priorities here.
Right. And so the agenda set by the Assembly Democrats and the Senate Democrats is their agenda. But we do have a party platform. And I would say, as a longtime union member and former state teachers union president, that the issues around collective bargaining, around prevailing wage, around project labor agreements, minimum wage, the fight for 15, expanding health care, all of those issues that are the bread and butter issues that, that make it possible for working families to actually have opportunities and be able to succeed, should be a part of a comprehensive agenda that the Democratic Party seeks to deliver for Wisconsin families. The other thing we've got to take on, and this is definitely a party responsibility, is fighting to get fairness back in our elections. You know, working to redistrict so that our gerrymandered districts are as close to 50-50 as we can get, so they're competitive districts, so we get the big dark money out of politics, and that we're creating a fair and open electoral process that doesn't require things like voter ID, that we actually give people an opportunity to be a part of a political process that they don't have to pay to buy into, but they can actually participate just because they're citizens of the state. So I think we need to deliver on those bread and butter issues, and the party needs to be aggressively working to make sure that an electoral system is fair, because I believe the Democrats have the message to win when the playing field is fair.
Joe, first bill under a Democratic ledge?
That's pretty tough. There's a lot of need. My heart and drive is to minimize the disparity between the rich and the poor. So the minimum wage has a lot of appeal. But I think if it were the first thing that we were limited to one, to me, it would be the right to vote. I think that there's a lot of people in Wisconsin that have been denied the right to vote. And that's where it all starts. If people can't vote, we can't accomplish anything. So to me, that's where we would need to start if you're asking for the first one, followed quickly by a number of others.
Okay. Thanks. Eric, please.
Well, there is so much good stuff that my opponents here mentioned. The fairness in elections, we haven't seen that. You know, like everybody's talked about, the Republicans have gotten involved in these Supreme Court races. I think the bigger failure than not running somebody this year was actually last year in the Kloppenburg race when, you know, and I say this as a Bernie guy, that the Hillary campaign had their ducks in a row. They were coordinated, and they were making sure that their door knockers would say Kloppenburg. But the state party failed to reach out to the Bernie campaign and get them to say Kloppenburg. And, you know, I went to the Bernie campaign, found out about that, and late in the game, they started to say it a little bit. They were happy to. But we had a failure of communication there. Anyway, my priority, my first priority would be to reverse the sort of abrogation of water quality in Wisconsin that was passed pretty quickly after Scott Walker came into power with his Republican legislature. They got rid of water quality standards, and it's been a problem all over the state in a number of ways. So I would restore that, those water quality standards, and then we would need to put people back to work immediately, replacing lead pipe laterals in places like Milwaukee and around the state. The fact is, we tested over 16,000 black kids in Milwaukee, and 10% of them have lead poisoning. Poisoning in their bloodstream that affects your cognitive abilities, that affects your learning. We're poisoning our children. Wisconsin is poisoning its children through our water supply. That is unacceptable. These so-called conservatives cannot have a conservative bone to stand on when they are poisoning our children. So we need to make the legal water quality there, and then we need to go rip out those lead pipe laterals so that we're not poisoning our children.
Okay, thank you. Brian, last question before we go to very short closing statements, because I want to give you a chance for that. Brian? I'll finish the sentence. I'll be a successful state party chair in 2 years if?
If we hold what we have and win back seats. The purpose of this party is to win elections, and we are not doing a good job of winning elections.
Martha?
I would agree. I mean, in 2018, we will have the infrastructure in place to win elections. And just as a comparison, in 2014, we put people in the field in August, 3 months beforehand. You know, we need to be sure that not only do we recruit great candidates, but we need to be sure that those candidates have the support that they need. And our party has not done that in the past. And in 2018, that can happen with big wins.
Eric? We'll be successful if we can capture this wave of momentum. Like I had a team capture a wave of momentum years ago in Kenya. We changed national laws by capturing a wave of reform, making it possible to prosecute sex crimes in that country. We'll be successful if we can capture that wave, send Tammy back to the Senate, send Scott Walker packing, and get back some seats in the legislature.
Joe? We'll be successful if the Democratic Party is looked to as an answer for people's hopes and aspirations. And we'll measure that by how well we do in the election results. So if we hold the people that we have, reelect Tammy, replace our current governor, and begin to regain the majority in the Assembly and the Senate, that will be a successful election.
Okay. Now, I want to give you a chance for 30-second closing remarks. So if you're closing your argument to the state delegates on June 2nd or 3rd, whenever you guys speak, your 30-second elevator speech, we started with Joe. Let's start with Brian.
All right. Experience matters. Someone who's won elections, someone who's built campaigns, someone who has the experience of holding elected office, of recruiting candidates, knows how to get the job done as party chair. There's really four jobs for the party chair. It's fundraising, build the infrastructure necessary to win elections, recruit candidates to help them win those elections, and be the spokesperson for the Democratic message. I've been doing all four of those things. I have the experience to actually deliver on Election Day.
Thank you, Martha.
2 years ago, I came in to build a stronger party, and we've made great gains. We've put in a candidate services team that is helping our candidates. We won 74% of our spring elections. We are finally getting to the point of raising the resources we need that we put out a whole team around the state. We will no longer have the top-down approach that we've had. And because of the plan that I've put in place, Congresswoman Gwen Moore, Senator Kathleen Vinehout, Senator Buley, Senator Miller, Senator Taylor, AFSCME have all endorsed me, and so many grassroots groups like North Shore Grassroots, Oregon Area Progressives. They've endorsed me because they know we are finally having a plan that is going to move us forward, and I hope I get 2 more years to finish that out.
Thank you. Eric?
Well, I think we've got to move forward to a victory. We've got to show folks that we are embracing a new generation of leadership. I've knocked over 15,000 doors and made over 18,000 phone calls, and that's where it starts. It starts with the hard work of traditional organizing. We can't ignore that. But we also need to up our game in the digital area, equipping our grassroots teams with better digital tools, actually competing in the social media bubbles, in the media bubbles people are living in. We need a chair that's going to be able to wear a number of hats, fundraising, being a spokesperson. And we also need a chair that's prepared to deal with this insidious voter suppression. I'm ready to do all those things, and I hope that delegates will vote Eric Finch for DPW chair this June 3rd.
Final word, Joe.
Well, I think the Democratic Party needs executive direction. That's what the definition of the responsibility is for the state chair. I have 30 years of experience doing that. I also have experience in an organized county-level party. Served as an officer in Marinette County, served as a chair in Milwaukee County. None of the other candidates have that experience. And I believe that that's critical if we're going to build our organization. Each county has to be strengthened, and we have to reach out to those counties and help them fulfill their obligations to build this party. So that's what my goal would be, to unite our party together and join to make change. And that's what I feel I'm the best equipped.
So thank you.
Don't vote for Eric, vote for Joe.
Thank you very much. As a public service, this show will be at wisi.org between now and the state convention, June 2nd, June 3rd. I want to thank all four candidates for coming in.
Thank
I want
you.
To thank Brian Kennedy,
thank
Martha
you.
Lanning, Eric Finch, and Joe Donovan. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.